struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, Travis Johnson here, the Nonprofit Architect, helping you build a stronger nonprofit. I'm here today with Rick Carlson from Vacation Claim. Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm doing phenomenal. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, I'm just glad we can sync up in this COVID world on the Zoom and on the interwebs and all that fun stuff and make things like this happen, like this show and this podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about leadership, mentorship, masterminds, and how to be a master delegator. But I understand you're getting into the Airbnb cleaning business. I'll let you get a plug in for Vacation Claim. What is that and what's it all about and why is it so special?
So vacationclean.com is a brainchild of mine. So about 3 years ago, I bought a new duplex. And when I closed on the duplex, the bank didn't want to give me the loan. They knew exactly how much money I had. They required about 90% of what I had on hand to close the loan, thinking that I wouldn't do it. So I'm a horrible quitter and I did it. And so I'm sitting on, and just so happens there, I owned one duplex and the duplex I bought was literally across the street. And I finally got this thing closed. It took me like 5 months to close it. And I'm sitting there and I basically had about $2,000 to my name. At the time I ran three companies. And I had two, almost three payrolls and two house payments due within the next 6 weeks. And I had no money and I didn't have a lot of money coming in that time frame. It was kind of a perfect storm, if you will. And so in my market at the time, we had a full Ironman, and that was about 5 weeks out. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do vacation rental because I hear it's good money. I was seeing all these houses going for a gazillion dollars just for that weekend. I thought if I could book that weekend, then I would be super solid. And so I literally took my junk drawer and my clothes and I went across the street and I slept on the floor for like almost 2 months. Because I couldn't even afford to buy a bed. I was so tight on money. Like I wasn't going to spend $250 for an Amazon memory foam mattress. And so fast forward 3 years later, I just got my badge last week that I've now been a super host for 3 years. And in the process of that, and it turned into a multiple unit Airbnb business for me, a very significant portion of my percentage of my income. And so through that process, what I figured out is for myself, the most challenging part of the business was the turnovers. And one day I called a venture capitalist buddy of mine. I said, listen, I am just absolutely miserable and my life has to change. And he says, what's your biggest problem? And I said, turn it over these vacation rental units. And he says, how would you solve that? And I'm literally standing in the street in front of one of my duplexes, well, technically in front of both. And I'm like, this is how I would do it. And he says, that's good. I would write a check for that. You should build that, but don't take my money. And so I was like, okay. So, and then, you know, summers for me are super busy. So, it took me about 6 months to find a technical co-founder. And then we started the kind of going down that road and we're 24 months in and we are, I would say about 2 weeks out from, doing our, live test with actual users. So it turns out it was a super complicated process. It's a very complicated platform to build to make it very user friendly. And so that's essentially what we've done. We've automated the vacation rental turnover process. It's not an industry that exists. There wasn't really anybody that we could look at and say, oh, you're doing it like this. We can do it better. I just put the most outlandish, crazy ideas on paper that I could find. We built the framework and then we built the website. And so that's what we do. We automate the vacation rental turnover process. So if you're a host, a vacation rental host, or even a homeowner. Just think of us as like the Uber of cleaning, with systems and accountability and a whole system to back that up for that process to work seamlessly.
So how I envision this is someone has a vacation home. They say, I need cleaning. And then the Uber, you know, the vacation clean users would say, oh, I have some spare time. I would love to clean your unit for you. And they click accept and they'll go over and clean the unit for the price that's agreed upon. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So, yep, exactly. So the host puts the, they know they have a clean coming up. So version two or version three it'll be a completely automated system where our system just knows that you had a turnover or you have a turnover coming, and we automatically put that clean out there under preset settings. So like, this is the clean we're doing at this price, and then it goes on a calendar, and then the first cleaner to grab it is the cleaner that gets it. Everybody's peer reviewed on both sides, everybody's background checked. And so the issue within the vacation rental world is you never know when you're going to have a turnover. A lot of times, like sometimes you do, but I mean, I've had people show up at 10 o'clock at night and leave at 6 in the morning, and somebody's checking in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you have like 12 hours to get that unit turned over. You don't want to lose money by not taking that stay. So what I found for myself was that turnover process was very daunting, especially when you have multiple units. So with our system, we leverage and utilize the masses to serve the masses. And it's such, you know, a lot of cleaners is great. They're great cleaners, but they don't know how to get that business. And it's very difficult to get that business. And so far, the reception has been amazing. We have so many people that have are in the quote unquote early stages that are really enjoying the process thus far. And they're really excited to get that out because they have this problem. And every host that I've talked to also has this problem. So we figured out that if we can solve this problem, then everybody wins in the end. While vacation rental turnover automation is what we do, the core of what we do is empower entrepreneurs and promote entrepreneurship for everybody to go build their dream, whatever that looks like for them.
That's awesome. And I imagine you don't get a place to that place in life just all on your own. You have to have a group of people around you to make this happen.
Absolutely. So I own multiple businesses. And at the end of the day, the only way that I'm able to do it is I have people that work with me that show up when I need them to show up and go above and beyond and really help take things off my plate that are a good fit for them and things that I don't need to be doing. So delegation is absolutely a must in my world. There's just no way that I would be able to run everything on my own and do it effectively. I can't even fathom like what that would, my life would be miserable.
Yeah. We have this thing in the nonprofit world, it's called martyr syndrome, that you pick up the torch for your cause and you run it as far as you can on your own. You don't ask for any help and you just run yourself through the ringer and run yourself ragged. And you're wondering why the donations aren't flowing in. You don't have all this free time because people are not leveraging, and not leveraging in a bad way, but you know, leveraging in a mastermind way, in a mentorship way, in a group way, to how do you solve this problem? And you know, like we met in the Vetpreneur Tribe, which is an online Facebook group where veterans that are also entrepreneurs connect and help each other solve problems. And there's many different layers of that, but I definitely wouldn't be where I am with this podcast without people like yourself in the Vetpreneur Tribe and other places online, because I don't know everything, right? There's no possible way I can do all this stuff that I do all by myself. I don't have the time or the know-how to produce a podcast and go through and rip the audio and then create all these promos and do all this stuff and send emails and all this thing. Oh, and still be active duty and be a good husband and a good dad and somehow, you know, get sleep in the day. I don't have time for all these things, let alone the know-how. And there's not a chance that this would all work out if I was just doing it alone. So what do you mean by being a master delegator? What does that mean to you?
My goal is not to be the smartest guy in the room. If I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm in the wrong room. And I can tell the a majority majority of the people that work with me or for me in some facet, a majority of them have much more education than I do. And they are the best at what they do in their world. I need them to do their job, so to speak. I create the environment for them to do that job, and they pick up the ball and run with it. So for me, I currently run 4 businesses, and then I have Vacation Clean, which is a business, and it's rolling out, but we're not dollar productive yet. So that is, we're still spending my money instead of making money. So once again, in my world, it's really important for me to have key people that are the best at what they do to go do that. And then what I tell our clients, regardless of what facet, what arena we're in, think of me as the quarterback, and I'm the guy that makes sure the ball gets where it needs to go. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm the one that gets it there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so where most people think that they have to do everything, and trust me, I've totally been there, but I would rather something be done good by somebody else than be done by myself great.
So what do you tell the person that's running their own nonprofit? They're doing everything by themselves, the janitor and the CEO. What do you tell that person to encourage them to go and seek someone that can help them out, that can help, you know, they can hand off the ball and let them run for a while with it? What do you tell that person to get that foray into that first person that they're adding into their team?
So that list narrows down to a few things. Number one, what are you great at? Not what good at. What are you good at? I'm good at a lot of things, but I shouldn't be doing a lot of things. I should be doing the things that I'm great at. So what are you great at? And who can you enroll in your vision and your dream that's going to pick up the ball for the other things and run with it? And maybe you can't afford to pay them at this point. Maybe it's a goodwill situation, so to speak. I think that, you know, the number one thing that I feel like I'm good at is I'm good at enrolling people in the bigger picture and the dream that is what we're building towards. So if you're, so the woman who runs a majority of my real estate company, if I'm doing something that's not congruent with our bigger picture, she'll tell me, is this getting us closer to the plane? And what that means is my goal is to buy a plane. And if I don't stick to what I'm supposed to be doing, that's never going to happen. So she knows, she's my ride or die. Like, we've had a lot of interesting situations over the 4 years we've been together. Yeah, 4 years, almost 5 years. And no matter what, she's just tell me where we're going. I don't even care how we're getting there. I know you're going to take care of me. So I think you have to instill that in your team of what you're doing is for a bigger picture and a bigger goal. And if you don't have somebody that's not bought into that dream, then they're just not going to be bought in, and you need to move on. The flip side of that is have you narrowed down your focus to what is your nonprofit really doing? Like, what's the core of their profit, so to speak? Like, what value do you bring the world? And don't veer off track. I'm the guy with a million ideas, and I can tell you now, there's times that my team is working with people that are not, they're all over the place. And so I need to get on the phone with people and get them back on track and focus on the goal, not switch the goal over the course of time. And whether you're in the nonprofit world or you're in the entrepreneur world, I see people they're just going with the flow, whichever the way the wind takes them. And at the end of the day, I mean, Vacation Clean, and a lot of people can't resonate with this, but we are 24 months. We're probably a little over that 24 month mark of building this project. And it's only cost me money up to this point. Most people can't even fathom that. And honestly, for the past, I would say 25 years of my professional life, I couldn't fathom that either, because I've always bootstrapped businesses and got them dollar productive and profitable very quickly.
It's one thing to have a vision. It's entirely another thing to have people buy into that vision. And especially when you're talking about Vacation Clean and being you know, more than 2 years into it, without being dollar productive and turning a profit. You know, so when you look at the nonprofit world and you have this vision for developing a program, and the program is intense, it's valuable, it means something, but it's going to take time to develop and get all the pieces in place. It might be able to get done in 4 months. It might take you 9 months. It might take you a year and a half or 2 years to get it where you want it. What is the turnover going to look like? Are you going to have one person working with you this whole time to get this vision off the ground? Are you going to have a high turnover rate because you might be a new nonprofit and you might not be able to pay this person? So you might have to get a couple of people segmented in there to help you along your vision. The startup nonprofit world is tough, especially because you don't have a direct to buyer. You have a donor that you convince your vision is great, and there's some kind of payout for the donor, hopefully, to then take their money and their donation and create something that's going to impact this community that you care about. And it's not easy. It is not a weekend. It is not three phone calls. It is going to take time to build this vision. You have to get people. They have to know where you're going. As you said earlier, they don't really care, you know, where you're taking them as long as they know where they're going. And I think that's an important part of what this is. But you can't do everything yourself. And if you're trying to do it all yourself and you're frustrated, this episode is really for you. You know, I know that Jim Rohn says you're the average of the five closest people you hang around, and you're not a fan of being the smartest person in the room. But I think that's kind of a daunting task to talk to some people about, where they want to be at the bottom of the food chain in this room and everyone else can provide them value, but they can't provide value in return necessarily. What do you tell that person to walk into that big, scary room where everyone knows more than they do?
I think as entrepreneurs, you have to set your ego aside. I run five businesses in essentially four different industries. So I'll be the first, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And when you realize you don't know what you don't know, you're ahead of the game. And I think that when you go into those situations, into those masterminds, your job is there to listen and you'll bring value, but for the time being, just shut up and listen. There was one particular woman that I was on the phone with, and she's got this great idea. And my guess is, as great of a person as she is, she's probably, I don't think that she's ever seen any business success, because she talks 90 miles an hour. You can't get a word in edgewise, and she just won't listen. And we were on a call, and I called her out. I said, you need to not talk, and you need to listen, because at the end of the day, that's, you turn people off. Most people don't realize, people don't care about us. They don't care what our stories are. They care about themselves. So when you listen to their story and you listen to their struggles, people think that you care. And as you should, to a certain degree. Now, I'm the guy, listen, and somebody asked me the other day, like, you know, what are you doing about this? You know, how's your life in this COVID? You know what? I'm not concerned with the world. I'm concerned about myself. You know, money is a fickle mistress. When you worry about it, it doesn't worry about you. So go to work, do what you do. Build your dream. The byproduct of the value you bring the marketplace, one of those byproducts is money. More importantly, you get fulfillment and you bring value to others' lives that you can bring value to them. So, you know, for the nonprofit sector, maybe you've got, as you outline everything that needs to be done and all of the positions within your world that you want to fill, you know, maybe you bring in one person for every one to three tasks, and you enroll where you've broken it down. Just, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So you just bring in somebody that's just going to take one bite at a time. And, you know, it's so when I went into when we started building Vacation Clean, I'd never built a company this elaborate, if you will. And my CTO, technical co-founder, he's great. He doesn't think like me. He thinks like an engineer. Everything is very systematic. He breaks everything down. We have 2 week sprints where we spend 2 weeks working on this. Then we get to the end of the 2 weeks and we talk about that. And then we talk about what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. So we break it down in 2 weeks. If it was me building Vacation Clean, oh God, who knows where we would be? I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, who knows? So I think we all need to recognize what our weaknesses are and fill those positions with people that are strong.
That's scary. Like, if you're listening to this right now, it's hard to call out and decide what your weaknesses are. I've been married for 19 years now, and people are like, I don't see it. Like, how are you guys a fit? Like, she is strong in the places where I am weak, and I am strong in the places that she is weak. And it's a very symbiotic relationship. And the things that we're able to do together and hold together, it's just amazing. There's a lot of people that tell my wife, they don't tell me because they think I'll get a big head, which is probably true, but they tell my wife that they really look up to our relationship. And I'm like, how? We just talk smack all the time. But we're really complementary in what we're able to do. And when you identify where you're weak, I think that's the time you go out and you get a coach or a mentor or a consultant to help you grow into the place that you're at. If you are, especially if you're bootstrapping your own nonprofit, you're working alone, you don't have a lot of people that you can ask. You have to find a coach, a mentor, or join a mastermind to help get you that next level and show you those things that you don't yet know.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the old saying is the riches are in the niches. And I believe that to be true for nonprofits just the same. So there's a woman I know who is the HR person for a nonprofit in Grand Junction, Colorado. And their niche, and I don't know the name of the nonprofit, or I would say it, and I apologize for that. Their niche is single homeless moms that need a place to go during the day. They help them with interview skills. They help them with their resume. They help them with meals. I mean, they're serving 600 plus meals a month, Monday through Friday, breakfast and lunch. And then at night, they can go to shelters and this, that, and the other. So, but their niche, and they're doing phenomenal, because who doesn't have a soft spot for single moms? And then you're like, okay, well, that's great, but what makes you different? What sets you apart from the other nonprofits? You know, I live in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which right across the border, we're right on the Washington border. And in Spokane, Washington, I think I was talking to a friend of mine, there are 58 nonprofits that address the homeless population. 58. You can't tell me it's not a business with that number of nonprofits. So my question is number one, how are these people contributing to the community? Because from what I can tell, the homeless population is way out of control in Spokane. And so how are you different? And that's where I think when you sell with a story, and then you build examples of how your nonprofit has changed somebody's life, that's how you create that ball of momentum. And really, and I know I'm kind of getting off the subject here, but that's how you create that story. It's no different, in my opinion, and who am I? I'm just a guy on the internet. But in my opinion, before you start a nonprofit, you should go start a business. Because if you're going to start a business, you're unknowingly probably running a nonprofit for the first 12 to 24 months. Learn how to run an actual business, get profitable, feed those profits into the nonprofit sector. So for Vacation Clean, for version two, as we roll out here, version two will roll out in the next 60 days is my guess. We will have a mandatory per transaction donation that goes towards entrepreneurship. So if we have a cleaner they want to get in the business and they just don't have, let's say, $500 to go buy a vacuum and all the cleaning supplies and everything they need, like, we don't ever want that low barrier of entry to get in the way of somebody to be able to provide for their family. So our charitable aspect of our business, because entrepreneurship is at the top of my list as far as important issues. And not everybody's an entrepreneur, mind you. There are a lot of people that I've talked to, and I'll be the guy to tell you should not be an entrepreneur.
Because I'm the guy that says you probably shouldn't start a nonprofit.
Well, and I think that, listen, the proof is in the pudding. And 6 to 12 month ago window, as my perfect English says, people thought I was insane. They're like, you're spread too thin. You don't know what you're doing, this, that, and the other. I was running four businesses and I had a fifth in the works. COVID hits. My janitorial company went down 40% because nobody's going to the office. My real estate business took a hit. My mortgage business took a hit. My Airbnb business took a hit. But guess what? At the end of the day, I was totally fine. I got to go work on other projects. I decided during that time, because things were slow, I was going to renovate my Airbnbs. So it bought me time. We bought a house in January and renovated that house. So far this year, I've renovated three houses. I'm not even in construction, mind you. Remember, delegate what you're good at, not what you're great at.
Oh, we're talking about mentorship, right? So how do you go out and decide that you need, or how do you approach the question of finding someone to help pour into your life and show you the things that you don't know? You know, there seems to be, you know, kind of two schools of thought. One school of thought is that you go to a formal school and you get the formal training, you do the formal thing, and then that's it. You're done with the formal training and you go off and you do good things. But if you talk like sports, you have a coach at every level of the game, right? You're in middle school.
Absolutely.
Learning about football or baseball, and you have this coach, and then you get to high school, and the quality of coach goes up a little bit. Then you get into college, and you have these multi-million dollar paid coaches that are even though you're the athlete, you're doing the good things. Are like, well, hey, if you turn your hips here, if you square up before you hit here, if you wrap up and use this technique, you get a little bit better, and you're going to be a pro, and you're making millions of dollars a year. And those multi-millionaires, they have people in their junk, in their business, breaking down tape and say, hey, when you look off this, you're telegraphing everything you're going to do by this look off move that you do before this play every single time, man. Don't do that. They're coaching you. They're helping you get through that. And when you get into the business world, there's coaches and consultants galore, and there's fantastic ones, and there's mediocre ones, mm-hmm. and there's ones out there that, you know, might take your money. But in the nonprofit world, there's not a lot of people that are going out and they're leery about talking to coaches and consultants, and no one is doing masterminds. They're not getting in people in their industry talking about the things that the pain points that they have and say, well, hey, here's how I got through this thing. Or, hey, have you thought about it from this perspective? Or, hey, have you tried doing an online event? Oh, I'm scared of doing an online event. Well, hey, brother, let me show you how we did it and how we save money for putting on this event, and we tripled our income from this online event. It's you have to find the people that know your next step, that know where you're going, that can shed some light on your path and help you get better and get you to that next level. And sometimes that means paying for service to help you get to that next place in life.
So in my real estate world, I'm part of a mastermind, like coaching group situation. It is a coaching program. And at this point, you know, I'm more along the mastermind track with that. I've been in the business a really long time. I mean, I hired a coach last year to help, you know, get me on track. I mean, so what I do, is when I figure out, when I recognize that I'm in a slump, whatever that is, I go hire a new coach. And most of the times when I'm in a slump, I can't afford a coach. 2 years ago, I was in a slump. I was just not in a good place. And I'd been on the road, the vacation clean road, for about five, six months. I hired a personal trainer. I live 90 miles from the Canadian border. It gets balls cold here. I would get up at 4:30 in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I would drive 30 minutes to his house, my trainers. We would work out in the garage, and on a good day, it was 20 degrees in there. But I was there every day at 5:30. We worked out for an hour and a half, and then I went home and I showered and I got on with my day. Through that process, he just happened to know who is now my co-founder. So everything happens for a reason. Last year, I hired a real estate coach above and beyond the mastermind group I'm in, because they were doing some amazing things beyond what I was doing. And she helped me get back on track, helped me work through some things. You know, a coach and a mentor, as long as you're willing to listen and set your ego to the side, a coach and a mentor can help you see your blind spots, help you see what you can't see. because those are the things that are holding you back. Making money is easy, but building a business, building a nonprofit, that is where you need some outside perspective. And everybody, I mean, I'm just trying to think, everybody I know. So I'm in a little bit of a slump now, and I just hired a new coach for the next 12 months. It was not cheap, and it was money I didn't have. And this guy has built multiple businesses. The cheapest business he sold was $25 million. The most expensive business he sold was like $794 million. And a majority of the businesses that he's built and sold, he just turned 42, by the way. A majority of the, and he came from, like, him and I have a very similar background. He was in a gang. I wasn't in a gang, but I grew up in the projects. I was the only white kid in the projects for 5 years. So I got my ass handed to me all the time just because I was different. And it's made me a better person. Like, I wouldn't trade that for the world. Like, if I could put my daughter in the projects and put my kids in the projects in a relatively controlled, a little bit better controlled environment than I grew up in, I would totally do it, because they'll get the tools that for life that you otherwise wouldn't get. But I look at him and his, what he's done, he's where I want to be. Like, that's where I'm going. So if I can hire him to help me shortcut that process, then that's an absolute, that's worth the money all day, every day. And in the right coaching situation, the money you spend on that coach or mentor will be insignificant to the return you'll get in value.
Yeah, you're not paying for a PDF. You're paying for lifetime value. These coaches and mentors, they are opening up the vault of experience that they have, and they're pouring into you their next steps, their mental attitude, their mindset, their teaching, and all these different things that you know maybe about as a concept, but you don't know them as a deep personal level. And when you get into something that has the right coaching that you need, or the right mastermind group that becomes your family and helps you grow, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. We had a group of 12 Christian men that were running nonprofits here in Oklahoma City, and it was amazing. You talk about the things you're doing well, the places that you're struggling at. You're like, oh, that's a nice t-shirt. You know, where did you get that? How do I get that? You put me in contact with your guy. Oh, you're doing it as a membership instead of just taking donation? Well, why should I do a membership, or what does that get you? And you're seeing all these little things, these little different details, and you're finding out the different ways to do things. And some of them are going to work great for you, and some of them you're going to decide are not right for you. But you have people at your level that you can ask, and they can pour into your life and be like, hey, man, I'm struggling with this. You ever feel like quitting when you're doing your nonprofit? Oh, yeah, man, all the time. Like, sometimes
go, you know, that's the other thing. Go work for these other nonprofits. Like, volunteer for these other nonprofits, see how they do things, and be open and honest about what your intentions are. Like, hey, I want to show up and learn as much as I can. My goal and aspirations are to start my own nonprofit, but in the process of going down that path, I believe that my calling is to work with you and learn from you at this point. And so many people do not have the mindset of abundance. So for me, in the mastermind group that I joined with this one particular guy who's ultra successful, you know, he basically started this mastermind because he was bored. He has more money than he'll ever be able to spend, theoretically. So he's like, I want to bring greatness to the world. I want to bring good to the world and help other people, help entrepreneurs. And there was a woman in that group who she had asked if other people within her industry were going to be allowed in the group. And my response to her was, come from abundance, not limitations. And she doesn't know who I am. Not that I'm anybody special, but she doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know my background. She doesn't know what industries I'm in. It turns out, so she says, hey, I just, I'm not going to say what world she's in, but the world she's in is a very small world. And I know people in her world that are pretty big at what she does. And she says, I don't, basically what she was saying, she doesn't want the competition. She doesn't want them knowing about this mastermind and all the gold that we're going to learn. But what she's missing is that for what she, okay, so she's a speaker. She's a keynote speaker. And it just so happens where I live, there's a fair amount of speakers based out of here because it's a great place to live. It's not cheap anymore, but it's a great place to live. And so she doesn't want the competition. She doesn't want these people like, you know, like they're going to learn. Listen, there's a, in my real estate world, there's a guy that doesn't live here. He grew up here. He lives in another state in a big city. He started a YouTube channel here, partnered with an agent on the ground that he went to high school with, maximizes the YouTube channel. And he's in my real estate mastermind. Up until this guy, I was the only guy in my market in this group. And I told a few people about it, and but nobody's really been super proactive about joining. This guy posted in the mastermind group how great his YouTube channel's going and how much business he's getting from it. He's in my backyard. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, guess what? He earned it. Somebody can only beat you if you allow them to beat you. And I did, and I'm not showing up in that arena to be the best. If I was going to show up to like, quote unquote, compete with him, he'd be done. But I've chosen not to do that. So show up at the masterminds, get a, learn as much as you can, and your time to contribute will come in good time.
I'm a huge fan of creating allies and not competing. There is, I can't even tell you how many other coaches or consultants I've talked to in the nonprofit world. And we've talked about all different things. And I had to talk to one gal and she's like, what do you mean you share all your stuff? I was like, yeah, what's the big deal? I mean, they're gonna like you for your personality or what you focus on, or they're gonna like me. But I highly doubt that someone is gonna like us both and be forced to choose from us. Like I don't
99% of the people aren't competing with you. They're education hogs. I mean, it's like somebody like these career students that have a gazillion degrees. The reason they have a gazillion degrees is because student loans are so easy to get and their parents are probably still taking care of them. And they're just racking up all this debt and they're avoiding the real world because they're nervous about what their abilities really are. And they don't want to get pushed out of the nest to have to go fend for themselves because it's too easy to go just stay in school. And I know people that are like this and their families have a lot of money. And as long as they continue their education, the family will keep supporting them. And the kids have figured this out. They're definitely working that over. And you know, at the end of the day, it's always about execution. There's been a gazillion great ideas, but very few have executed. I guarantee I'm not the first one to have a Uber model style idea for the cleaning world. As a matter of fact, I know for the most part, based on what I can tell, it's a very limited industry, yada, yada, yada. There's not a lot of people playing in it. There is, out of the companies that I could find, there's only one that is doing it kind of close to the way we're modeling it. And they're not even doing it like us. And the roadblocks that they have in place limit their ability to garner new cleaners and new hosts. So I'm just like, perfect. And ironically enough, I've been looking for them for 2 years and I could never find them. It was somebody else that said, oh, are you like this company? And I was like, oh crap. Maybe it's there. Cause the whole reason I built it is because I couldn't find it. So, you know, necessity is the father of invention, I think is the term.
Yeah. Something like that. But I'm definitely an abundance guy, right? There's more than enough to go out there. There's more than enough donors for every cause. If you do it right and you don't duplicate services in your area, you're going to be able to find someone that's going to get on board with what you're doing. You don't have to go out and get crazy and reinvent the wheel. You don't have to go out on your own. You don't have to be a martyr. You can join an organization that's doing close to what you're doing and build a branch that's going to cover what you want. They did all the hard work of creating a following and getting a 501c3 and doing all the paperwork. And then you can leverage their network and their skills and their money that's already coming in to help do what it is that you're trying to do. If your project fits within their mission. You can do this. And that's what United Ways do all over the country. They create this umbrella for people to come up underneath them and build their vision without having to go through the heartache of starting a new nonprofit. But you definitely want to get in and do some kind of mastermind. The Nonprofit Architect is launching our own mastermind, coming live here in a few weeks. And if you are interested in joining a group and learning from your peers, drop us an email at nonprofitarchitect@gmail.com, nonprofitarchitect@gmail.com. Say that you're in or that you're interested, and we'll get you the details of this mastermind so you can learn from people in your industry. So people are going to have insights that you don't have. We're bringing in guest speakers and experts in their fields to come talk about the things that maybe you're not familiar with yet and help you build a stronger nonprofit. Rick, great having you on the show today. Where can people find and get a hold of you?
So on most social media, I'm Rick Carlson Official. So Facebook, Instagram, I'm not on Twitter a lot. I am a busy man. to reach out to me, you can email me rick@fancyox.com. That is my parent company. And, my email rick@fancyox.com. Or you can, you know, find me on the other social media platforms as well.
Great having you on the show today. Thanks so much, Rick.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.